Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our epistle in Hebrews 9. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is God's word. The Bible likes to use legal language. We refer to the commands that God has given us that were referenced in our epistle. On Mount Sinai, we call it God's law. The Lutheran reformers talked about the most important doctrine in all the church was the doctrine of justification. And where is one justified but in front of a judge? The book of Hebrews, though it's full of all this language of worship with priests and offerings and blood, also likes to use legal language. Of all the legal statements and documents that can be produced, one of the strongest is a last will and testament. We were talking about this last Thursday in our Bible study on Revelation. It's here in Hebrews 9 as well. A last will and testament is incredibly difficult to contest. If something has been decreed in someone's last will and testament, and you want to get the outcome of that will changed, good luck. There are probably instances in which it has happened, but it's difficult to accomplish. The last will and testament of a person distributes the possessions of that person, the testator, to his or her heirs, usually their children or their spouse, but not always. And it gives certainty as to the wishes of that testator, the one distributing their belongings. There's no guessing. It's written down. I remember when my dad died, I guess now it was almost 15 years ago. He was 50 years old and wasn't really thinking death could be on the horizon. He didn't have a will. And left my brothers and I with a lot of difficulty guessing how he would want us to handle things after his death. With a last will and testament, you know exactly what is intended. But the thing about that last will and testament is it only takes effect upon the death of the person who's written it. In the case of an inheritance, typically, that inheritance is received once the person who's passing it on has died. It says that even in our text for tonight. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Some of you are probably wondering if I'm going to talk to you tonight about making gifts to the church in your last will. No, that's not my plan. Our Lord Jesus has given a last will and testament as well. But there's another legally binding declaration that also has power that comes into play in our reading tonight, and that is a pardon. Perhaps you've heard about that a lot in the news lately. Will or will not President Trump pardon Paul Manafort after his conviction and now more charges brought against him? A pardon removes all the consequences of a conviction, and it renders the offense as though it never happened. It's one of the most powerful things in our legal system. In fact, there's not even certainty that the Supreme Court could even overturn a presidential pardon. And in fact, the Supreme Court has never ever tried to intervene in such a pardon. Our letter to the Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Well, one of the synonyms for forgiveness that this word implies is pardon. Without the shedding of blood, there is no pardon of sins. pardon of the sins of which we're guilty made possible through the blood. The blood established by the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. There's one more legal term in our reading tonight. It's in the very first verse where the author calls Jesus Christ the mediator. The one who stands between God the judge and us, those on trial for sin and guilt and shame and vice and evil and wickedness. And through this mediator, Jesus Christ, in other places in the Bible, he's called our advocate, almost like a defense lawyer. He establishes a new covenant, a new testament, and through it he secures pardon for sinners. All of this has happened because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has shed his blood. Freedom from sin, freedom from hell, freedom from everlasting damnation, because Jesus Christ gave his life upon the tree of the cross, upon that altar of the cross, and shed his blood for you and me. And he has established in this testament of his that we should become heirs, receiving, of course, an inheritance. And of course, because Jesus Christ has died, has given his life into death on the cross, that means his last will and testament has taken effect. The inheritance, it's not just something you await way off in the future. It's present tense. It's yours, here and now. The verdict has come in on you, children of God. Not guilty. Innocent. Because the one who is our mediator, the one who sheds his blood, has stepped in on our behalf, has shed his blood to establish all the riches of heaven for you and me. That is our inheritance, after all. Forgiveness and pardon. Life that never, ever ends. Sharing in all things with Jesus, the Son of God and God himself. In his death, in his blood, your pardon is granted. In his death, in his blood, your inheritance is given. That legal language is heard by each and every one of you every time we come before the altar to receive Jesus' very body and blood. Where of the blood, he says, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for the pardon of all your sins. Meaning your guilt is taken away. Your debt of sin is paid. It's removed as though it never occurred. That's the beauty of a pardon. It's stricken from the books. It no longer exists. We have trouble here in the Lutheran Church talking that way, don't we? We're so used to coming before God week in and week out and calling ourselves poor, miserable sinners. And indeed we are. And yet us poor, miserable sinners have had our sin and guilt taken away. We are holy. We are pure. We are righteous. Just as we, on the one hand, are poor, miserable sinners, so in the very same way, we are sinless, spotless, and holy, as Jesus is sinless, spotless, and holy. That's what a pardon accomplishes. That's what the shedding of Jesus' blood in his New Testament does for you. Tonight, most of us will come forward to receive this body and this blood, this New Testament, which our Lord Jesus gives. And the blood, as it always does, will take away our sin. Blood's messy, and we've been establishing that throughout our Lenten series, which we're now 3 weeks into so far. Maybe it doesn't get any messier than it is in our reading for tonight. The author to the Hebrews, who we don't really know who it is, references Exodus chapter 24, where after God had given the people of Israel his words of the law, his holy commands for them, we read that Moses then took the blood of sacrifice and it was sprinkled on the book of the law. And then the blood itself was sprinkled on the people of Israel. Some kind of worship service that must have been. And then we also read of what was established in the book of Leviticus within the worship that the priests oversaw. How all the items of worship, the various instruments that were used in the service of the tabernacle, were also sprinkled with blood. They were made holy. They were set aside to be used for God's purposes. Tonight, he sprinkles you with his blood. He sprinkles you by putting his blood and his body into your mouth for your forgiveness, for your pardon. This God who speaks to us in legal terms gives us the best news that we could hear. The debt of sin is paid. The punishment is taken away. It is all borne by the one, Jesus Christ, who gives himself for you and for me, who sheds his blood to give us the precious inheritance that our Heavenly Father has for us. Forgiveness, life, and salvation that last for all eternity. Amen.